And congratulations for once again joining the Fantasy Sports Scout European edition. Once again, I am joined by Julia.
Julia here. Yes. Hello again.
And this is the podcast that treats you as if you know almost nothing about football and needs to educate you.
Yes, I'm here for that. Thank you.
Today we're gonna be taking it a bit easy and continuing our previews, but let's be honest. We're going to be talking about least interesting group in the Euros.
We're going to be talking about Group C, which is, may I introduce?
Please.
All four teams are Austria, the Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Ukraine. So applause, applause. And let's dig in the group preview.
Sound effects, please.
Yes.
This is production right here.
Yes. So, we're going to be talking about... which is the first one?
I'd say let's actually start with by far the most interesting team in the group. And the only
Ukraine.
Team that's actually ever done anything meaningful. And that's, of course, the Netherlands.
Is that Ukraine?
Ukraine has rarely or never done anything to the Euros. And that's exactly why we need to have this podcast, Julia.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
In a nutshell, for anyone not familiar with football, except for Holland, other three teams, they're not really known as football powerhouses. They've done pretty well recently.
Hmm.
They're in the Euros.
I kind of had
the
impression that Ukraine is not that, they have some championships or something, good players at least.
They have some good players right
players?
Now. Actually, we're just winging it. So let's talk about Ukraine. they won. They have a couple of really good clubs historically.
Yes.
And a couple of good clubs right now. And those two are, historically, it's Dynamo Kiev.
Yeah.
And right now it's Shakhtar Donetsk.
Donetsk, yeah.
And Dynamo Kiev actually won a couple of, I think, European, international competitions. I think they won the Cup Winners' Cup a couple of times. But they were very good, especially under the manager Valery Lewandowski. I like the Ukraine. They're actually one of my favorite teams in the Euro. I will be supporting them. They're not exactly known, like I said, as world beaters. Last time they qualified, they finished bottom of their group, if I remember correctly.
Maybe they had a difficult group then, right?
They were really at a similar level to a lot of the Eastern European teams nearby, because we know those. So not great. But they have a pretty, a squad of utility players and a few big stars.
Okay, so tell me about the stars of the Ukrainian team.
Right, so, most of these players started out their career with either Dynamo or Shakhtar Donetsk.
A lot of players are still at Dynamo Kiev.
They're still at Dynamo Kiev. Their most famous player right now, by far, is probably Oleksandr Zinchenko, who plays for Manchester City.
Oh, yeah. I heard about him.
He told me. He's obviously just won the Premier League, and he was in the final of the Champions League.
Yes, I remember that one.
He's really good. A lot of players respect him. He's a very intelligent player. Usually, with Ukraine, he plays as midfielder. Pep Guardiola may plays him as a wing-back. So as a defender for Manchester City. But they also have some players that people might know, like Andriy Yarmolenko, who plays for West Ham. Players that I think are especially going to be known for those that watch Dynamo Kiev and Shakhtar in the European competitions, like Viktor Tsiganov, a very good midfielder. A balanced... squad overall, I was thinking that they're not a lot that casual listeners might know.
Yeah, no.
They are managed though by a name that a lot of people will know. And that's Andriy Shevchenko. He played for Chelsea and AC Milan. He's a pretty young manager, and he was one of the best forwards in the world, maybe 20 years ago, something like that.
Okay, interesting. I had no idea.
He was exceptional. He is their, their Georgi Hagi.
Oh, I see. So did he win Like anything remarkable or that we maybe I heard of?
He was in two very successful teams with Chelsea and AC Milan, and he won silverware both in Italy and internationally. Yeah, not as a Ukrainian player though.
Yeah, but what?
I think he was in the squad that won the Champions League with AC Milan, and I think he was in the squad that won the Premier League with Chelsea. I'm
Okay,
pretty sure.
that's
I
remarkable.
think he might even have another Scudetto, so a win in Italy as well. But the thing was, he was for a few years like the best striker in the world, probably. You know,
Okay.
incredibly efficient, skilled.
So what about his abilities as a coach?
He really seems to have motivated the Ukraine squad. Well, from what I saw, a lot of people were d didn't have a lot of trust in him, but he seems to have really built up their spirit.
Okay, so that's gonna show in their performance, right?
They'll be hoping. So yeah,
Hopefully, yeah. So,
Ukraine is tries to play a pretty offensive 4-3-3, so three strikers. And another team that does the same, but they're more famous, but they're also underperforming in recent years. And that's one of my favorite teams of all time, and that's Holland. When I was a kid,
Netherlands.
any competition internationally, I would support Holland. I would support the Netherlands.
Netherlands. Yes. Oh, well, why is this your one of your favorites?
They used to play such attractive football. It
Okay.
was like fast and skillful, and a lot of dribbling. Just a wonderful team. They had the most wonderful team in the 70s with Johan Cruyff. They had the most wonderful team in the 80s with
Well,
Van Basten and
I need to
Ruud
stop you
and the
right
one
here.
most wonderful team in the 90s. Yeah.
I have to say that your face just sparkles, and you can read the joy of talking about the Netherlands in the 70s and whatever. I can tell that you were truly attached to the team. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm not gonna be supporting them this time around. I'll be honest. They have, they have some. If you look at the squad sheet, I just brought it up. Their players play for big teams.
Oh
That's
yes, really big.
true. But they've been underperforming terribly in the past few years. Their newest manager, Frank de Boer, a great former international, has sort of brought them back. I actually saw the Netherlands play a friendly against Georgia. They won 3-0. They did pretty well, but they're not that, that sparkling team of old.
But I can see players from Manchester City and Ajax and Juventus, Inter Milan, all kinds of really Barcelona, Liverpool, United, everything. So I just have this question. Isn't this like a kind of a problem actually? Like you have players playing in the best, largest clubs in Europe, and then you put them all together for this really short amount of time, and you ask them to play as a team. Isn't that kind of a problem?
It often is, and like I said in our previous episode, international football is so different from club football. So
Exactly.
yeah, if you have a player that's not a big star but he does well for the national team, you just want to bring him back.
Yes.
But the problem is, a lot of these players, they're famous, so like everyone's heard of Matthijs de Ligt and of Memphis Depay and Giorgio Wijnaldum and Stefan de Vrij from Inter Milan. So a lot of famous and classy players, but not necessarily players that make up a good team. I'd really like to be proven wrong, because like I said, I really liked the Netherlands team in the past, but I'm not sure that's gonna happen. My prediction is that they win the group, but once they meet like a really serious team in the knockout stages, they get wiped out.
Let's not jump to conclusions, but right now we are talking about the teams and the groups in the it's just the qualifying round, this
It's the group stage,
group
right?
stage, so we cannot tell by this point what's gonna happen, right? We can always have surprises.
Yeah, what I do hope happens is that Holland scores some really good goals, whether they do something in the Euros or not. that would be a great thing to happen. Let's just move on, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about Haaland in the near future as well. The other team in Group C,
yes.
And it's one that you probably like, or at least as a country, and that's Austria.
Yes, actually, I love Austria as a country because I lived there for almost 1 year when I used to work as a volunteer. And at the beginning, I thought it was really boring. But then I started to experiment nature and, you know, go on long hikes and participate in all kinds of sports events. And they have all this beautiful nature, really. And I loved it, and I fell in love with it. And I cannot wait to get you there and show you everything that they have. And it's really wonderful.
Right, and Austria is well, one of those teams like you described them as perhaps boring. I think that might define their football as well, or it did in the past. They have a much better squad now, probably better than they've ever had. But we should mention they've never won any games in the European competition.
Like no games.
They've only qualified twice, so they've played six times.
Okay.
Never won a game.
So, like in the group stages, like we are now,
they never went past the group stages. They only qualified twice.
So they never won, like, before any matches in at this stage.
Any matches in the Euros, yeah.
Wow.
So they're not exactly a household name when it comes to football.
Is that some sort of record? Are there any other teams that?
There are a lot of other teams like that. Yes.
Okay.
My point being is that they're not necessarily, if you're just watching football, you know, as a casual fan, you probably haven't heard of Austria, but you've probably heard of people like David Alaba, who happens to be Austrian. A lot of people would think German. But he's not German, he just used to play for Bayern München. He's going to go to Real Madrid.
Whoa, that's big.
He is one of the best defenders in the world, of course.
Okay, so they have some big names in their squad, right? And a lot of them I see they're playing in Germany.
That's what's changed, yeah.
So, from what I know, Bundesliga, the league in Germany, is actually a pretty prestigious league, and they have really good teams and players. So, I remember that game with Bayern and Barcelona.
Yeah.
What was that?
You mean that 8-2?
Yes, 8-2 for Bayern, and they won. What was that? I don't remember.
It was the Champions League semi-final, and yeah, Bayern won 8-2 in the second leg against Barcelona.
Yeah, and that was the moment, the thing where you saw the German way of training and the German way of thinking, and you were like, come on, Bayern, please stop kicking Barcelona's ass. But they wouldn't. And it was, you know, kind of weird.
Yeah, so because a lot of their players playing in Germany, they have similar characteristics. They're very sort of disciplined, and they
exactly.
do their job, and they do their job for 90 minutes. You know, I think Bayern kicked Barcelona's ass. Not because of, you know, like hatred, but because they're like paid to play for 90 minutes, and that's how Germans treat it. You know, 90 minutes.
Yeah, so
they give it 90%. Like, they never give 100%. You see, like, teams, they're desperate to score, and like you see them sweating and stuff,
yeah,
and like very angry. Germans are never like that. They just give it 90%, but they give 90%
constantly,
all the time.
Yes. Yeah, so that's kind of freakish. If you ask me.
How Germany is freakish in a lot of ways.
Like, that's something that other teams, I think, they're kind of afraid of, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people that watch Bundesliga will be surprised to learn that some of these players are actually Austrian and not German. And I'll just read some of them. Casual fans will probably know them. There's, apart from Alaba, there's Marcel Sabitzer, who's this great number 10 who plays for RB Leipzig. A few other Leipzig players in there as well. I really like this year. I like Christopher Trimmel. He plays for Union Berlin, a very good and experienced player. A lot of them like that, but he, like the exception, the underlier here, is that their striker, who probably start every game, is Marko Arnautovic, who plays right now in Shanghai Port. He plays in China.
In Asia?
He plays in Asia because he used to play in the Premier League, but he got like a really great offer from Asia and he went there.
Money wise.
Yeah, but he's still considered the best striker that the Austrians have, even though Mikhail Gregoric, who plays for Augsburg, is pretty good, and also Sasha Kalajic plays for Stuttgart. But, you know, Arnautovic should start.
Okay, so who's their, like, their star?
By far, it's David Alaba, who, even though he's a defender, you actually see that most...
He plays at Bayern, so probably that's why, right?
His teammates will try to put him in good positions or just pass him the ball constantly.
Just because he plays for Bayern?
Yeah, yeah. Another player I would really watch out for, especially if you're into fantasy football, you probably know him, but especially watch out for Marcel Sabitzer. He can be one of the best midfielders in Europe. He's shown it before. And I think this is the moment where he can actually, you know, really raise his profile.
So he plays for Leipzig.
He plays for RB Leipzig, has this Konrad Leimer. But I think, you know, a lot of people want players from Leipzig. I think if he does a great, if he has a great tournament now, you'll see a lot of star teams going after him.
Okay, so the point is that Austria has great players. Most of them play in Germany. And Germany, the German league is known for its discipline and, you know, everything else that Germany is known for. And but with on top of that, they have a few stars, but still, there's not a lot of hope, historically speaking, for them to go through the group stages.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that if you look at this group, apart from the Netherlands, they do stand a good chance with Ukraine and North Macedonia. Let's actually talk about the last team in the
group. So the last, the fourth team in the third group is North Macedonia, which, in my complete ignorance, I have to confess that I had no idea that Macedonia is now called North Macedonia because of some sort of country conflict in 2019.
Yeah, so it's a conflict from what I know with Greece, and they were forced or willingly changed their name. They added North, but Macedonia hasn't ever qualified to a Euros or to a World Cup.
So this is like their first time qualifying for a Euro or any sort of kind of that championship.
Yeah, it is exciting. But what I will add is that there are a lot of great players coming out of that region of Europe. They're traditionally very good at team sports.
I think they're very athletic as well, are they?
I think in all those countries, in Macedonia and the countries around it, a lot of people do sports.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why you'll see a lot of those. And a lot of the countries from the former Yugoslavia, they're qualifying to these tournaments. And Yugoslavia was a very good team as well. They might not have a lot of money and backing, but they have a lot of spirit. And that's probably what brought them here. But not only that, even more so maybe than the teams we talked before, they have a few star players.
Okay,
who would have thought?
Not me. So who are their stars?
By far their biggest star is their 38-year-old forward, Goran Pandev, who still plays for Genoa.
38? That's impressive.
38, yes.
Okay.
And he still plays at a very high level. He scored their decisive goal that qualified them here. Other players, like, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering the names, like Elgif Elmas, he plays for Napoli, you've probably heard of him. And, of course, there's the very charismatic Esjan Alioski, who plays for Leeds in the Premier League and who had a very good season.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know most of these players. And they are playing for, I would say, middle-tier teams.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Dinamo Zagreb or...
Újpest in Hungary and Kayserispor in Turkey.
Kayserispor, yes. I also lived in Kayseri for 2 months, so I know about that. But Larnaca, Yeah, so they're not huge teams, but doesn't matter if they're like really good players. I think they could.
I think their biggest thing is that they're happy and surprised that they qualified. The Euros have more teams now that can qualify.
Oh, I see.
So you're gonna have a few surprises and a few teams that are just happy to be there. And why wouldn't they? You know, if Romania had qualified, they probably wouldn't have done anything, but we would have just been happy they were
They were
there.
there, so probably they're really happy to be here. So, do you think they have like a legit real chance to qualify from the group stage?
You know what? What I can promise is that they won't embarrass themselves. Yeah, there's always one or two teams that just loses every game horribly. I don't think that's North Macedonia. I actually think they have a number of good players. Maybe not the same, you know, pedigree as like the Netherlands, but well, disciplined, hardworking, and with good morale. I don't think they're gonna qualify, but I don't think they're gonna lose all of their matches.
Okay, so with that being said, we can talk about a bit about the games that are played in this group, because some of them are going to be played right here in Bucharest.
Yeah,
So that's kind of exciting for us. And I want to mention that we are going to be seeing live the game of Ukraine versus Austria in Bucharest on
yes.
the 21st of June.
We would have been able to see all of the four games in Bucharest, but we decided because of the pandemic to actually shorten those and just see one of them. But just seeing one game at Euros will be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, so Ukraine versus Austria is going to be our game. So we will be able to report live actually after the game. Is that going to be interesting? So
Right. And keeping with tradition in closing of the podcast, we have our segment here that we like to call
boy that boy that stinks.
Boy, that stinks. And in this case, it's pretty sad and bad news, but boy, that stinks that we're not going to be able to see Virgil van Dijk playing in this Euros. He is, of course, probably the best player the Netherlands have right now.
So why not?
He was injured for most of the year,
Oh.
and he's not fully he hasn't
Recovered.
fully recuperated. He's not going to be in the Euros. He would have definitely been one of the biggest stars there and would have definitely increased the Netherlands' chances. But that stinks. Hopefully we'll see Van Dijk next year, you know, healthy, playing in the Premier League for Liverpool, and we're gonna have the World Cup next year. So Van Dijk might be one of the best players in that competition.
Wow, that's a good thing to keep in mind, especially for fantasy players. What else is not good about this group?
You know, generally speaking, injuries in general, like the players this year, they've played so much football that a lot of them have gotten injured ahead of the Euros, like Trent Alexander-Arnold will not be taking part. Their bodies, they're just like pushed to the very limit. So I think fans should be we might not be able to see the same spectacle.
Yeah, because they're probably tired
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they are afraid of getting injured. But what you're saying that they played a lot, so this tells me that there's a high chance that the players will get more injured during this competition, right?
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking. Like, you see a player like Pandev, she's 38. I don't know, I guess he's avoided most injuries and he can still play really well at 38. But like, you get a serious injury on your knee or something and you can just end your career at like 20 or something. It's horrible.
And isn't that like really bad to get an injury, especially at the Euro competition, because then you have to go back to your club, and if you're injured, then the club might, dismiss you or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
So
Like
that's.
your career could just slowly
And
dissolve.
if I
Terrible.
were as a player, like I'm trying to think as a player right now, I would rather, putting all my efforts into playing good for my club. Than playing for my country for the Euros, that's nice too, but my club is the one that's paying my paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you balance it, I think that most players would rather not get injured, and that's why maybe we won't see, trying to do their best because they're really tired at this point.
It could be, and we could see that some more. I mean, it's understandable if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and you're like he's 37 now, and he's just looking to get a new contract, maybe with like a big team like Manchester United or stay at Juventus. Do you risk getting injured? He's already won the European Championship,
Yeah.
5 years ago, or do you just go, play me in fewer games and let me just go to Manchester when when this is over?
Yeah,
It's a
because
tricky situation.
if and I
And you can't
think,
blame them.
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I think that if you win like some sort of cup competition with your club, I think it's more valuable and it pays more than if you win something like this
Yeah, I think
somehow.
they get a payout, like UEFA pays a bonus that the federation can divide between the players that were active. But it certainly it pales in comparisons if you're a player of Real Madrid or Manchester United or
Exactly,
whatever.
that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, let's hope for the best and we don't get to see a lot of injuries.
And in closing, since this is what we do, let's also focus on here are the sound
Fantasy
effects.
football advice.
Fantasy football advice. Well, this is a really interesting one, I think, in this group. Because we're gonna be surprised by so many players, mostly because a lot of them aren't famous yet, but they're probably pretty good if they manage to qualify their teams up until this point.
So you're thinking about some players from all of the countries, right?
Yeah, if I'm looking at like a team like North Macedonia, I would definitely zoom in on them and go for like their stars. We mentioned Pandev and we mentioned Alioski who plays for Leeds, and we mentioned Elmas, who plays for Napoli. It's Elgif Elmas. He's a midfielder slash defender for Napoli. The thing is, they already have experience, and their teammates will look at them to deliver. So they're gonna
Okay.
be getting the ball a lot. They're gonna be taking shots. They're
Okay,
gonna be doing a
so
lot.
that translates to more points in fantasy games,
Ex yeah.
which counts like the passes that a player makes or any shots on the goal or any sort of stuff like that. Okay, who else is there?
Yeah. So games like Football Coin that reward those, they're ideal for these kind of players. I think you also wanna take a look at teams like Austria, because a lot of their players, they're active in the Bundesliga, one of the best leagues in the world. Like I mentioned, Sabitzer is I think he'll have a great tournament if he's not injured. But there are a lot of like lower tier players that should do really well. Christopher Trimmer, if he plays, should do really well. Hinteregger, who plays for Frankfurt, Dragovic, who plays for Leverkusen, and of course the stars, because players like David Alaba for Austria or Zinchenko for Ukraine, like I said, their teammates are gonna be depending on them to do a lot. They're gonna score a lot of points.
But also, isn't there like a huge risk if you're playing these stars, the
Yeah.
players, a lot, and like you're constantly passing the ball to them and you're expecting them to shoot for the gate and the gate, the goal, and to deliver some sort of miracle, aren't they gonna be like pretty exhausted?
They probably will be, yeah. So
And
it's a lot of
probably.
responsibility.
They will have like a lot of risk in getting injuries and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if it's all good to put your eggs in one bowl
Yeah.
basket. So I think you should divide your team and change from time to time your stars in your personal fantasy football team.
Yeah, and the last thing that I would say is any fantasy football takes into consideration Dutch players, because I think apart from like Brazilians, the Dutch are, everyone has a few Dutch players because they're so good. But this time
You're
around,
so in love with the Dutch players.
but this time around, the thing is, for any game, they're pretty expensive. because they're
why
they're playing for Barcelona and they're playing for Liverpool. So if you want to get like everyone wants Wijnaldum, Jorge Wijnaldum, as a midfielder, but in football coin as in any other place, he might be a bit expensive. I think they're worth it. Like Wijnaldum is worth it. Matthias De Ligt is worth it. Memphis Depay is worth it. But you might be able to actually get a few cheaper players if you just watch the first few games. I think the first game is going to give us a good indication. And rather than getting Wijnaldum, you might be able to find a really good bargain in the Austrian.
Yeah, the thing is that with the Euros, you get to choose from players from a lot of diverse background. So they come from big clubs and also small clubs, and then when you put them together, you get maybe some really good players that aren't playing for Juventus, for instance, and then you get them for really cheap, or the cards players, or for free in fantasy football, but they perform really well. The point is that, as you said, probably after the first few games, you can take a look at the stats and decide which players are worth it to make it in your fantasy football team. So
yeah, I'll just give you an example. Like Donny van de Beek, he is pretty cheap in any fantasy game. He is free in football coin. You can earn him, I guess. But he hasn't played for Manchester United. Don't you think he's going to really want to prove himself this time around?
Exactly. So I think that the Euros is actually a good thing happening for fantasy fans, because you get like to choose from a wide variety of players, and you can get like have a strategy, like a real manager, and I think you can really feel the thrill of the game, as they say, and that's really interesting. Because if you're playing like in Premier League and you only get to choose between players from City and Liverpool and Chelsea and whatever, you only have the stars, and it's really hard to come up with a team in a fantasy game. But when you have players from all sorts of squads from all over Europe, not just top ones, then you get players that, you know, might perform really well, are not that tired, they don't feel the pressure, they just are really excited to be there and probably will perform better than other star players.
Yeah, like I tell you what, if I was like, let's say, Wout Weghorst from Wolfsburg, who plays for the Dutch, or like Van de Beek, who I mentioned earlier.
That sounds really complicated to pronounce.
Yeah. But if any of those players get like three excellent games, if they start the games and if they play it, like why wouldn't they get a transfer to like Real Madrid or Barcelona?
Yeah, so this might be a chance for them. While
this sets you up for a lot of years.
While the other more known players are, as I said before, maybe paying more attention to not get an injury or something like that, so they can get, you know, another contract at their club or whatever. So
you know what, Julia, just talking about the Dutch team, so much it's got me excited. And you know, I said I wasn't gonna be supporting them in this year, but I think I've changed my mind.
You just changed your mind. Actually, you look like you're a true fan of the Netherlands.
They gave us some great football.
Yeah.
But they're not my top choice. I'm actually rooting for another European team, but I will be letting you know in another episode.
So you don't want to spoil the surprise just yet?
No.
Come on, tell me, I'm curious. What's your favorite team right now?
You really want to know?
Yes.
It's it's Portugal. I'm rooting for Portugal.
Portugal.
I hope they win.
Is that because of Ronaldo?
No. It's actually not because of Ronaldo.
Because I never
he's good, he's good.
I never noticed that you're a big fan of Ronaldo, to be honest.
I'm not really, although I admire him. But I think I really like the Portuguese side. I really like their squad. And they play this very offensive and efficient.
So you're basically more drawn into their tactics and strategy and game. Right.
And it's also because when I was a kid, like I told you, I really liked Netherlands.
Yes.
But I also liked Portugal. They had players like Rico, Stein, Figo, and it was just like these players that had this amazing skill. And when you're
agility,
a kid, all you want is like to learn to dribble.
Oh, yes, I understand. So that's the thing. Okay, but Portugal is not in this group.
They're in Group F.
The last
so
group,
we will
yeah.
be getting to them eventually.
Okay, so With that being said, I think we're gonna stop talking right now. And I will hear you next time talking about the fourth group in the Euros, Group D.
Thank you, Julia. We will be doing just that. Catch you later.
Bye bye now.